Harold Fisher. We're at the Lawyers Roundtable tonight, answering your questions about legal issues you may have, whether it is a criminal justice issue, perhaps it is a business issue or a personal injury issue. If you have a question about the law, if you have a legal problem, now is the time to give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I go back to the phone lines, I want to ask Patrice and Bobby, certainly you can also chime in if you want, about a story we reported earlier today. The Prince George's County Sheriff's Department made 16 arrests in a child support sweep. They report that they picked up, there were $149,000 in arrears among those 16 arrests. Here's my question. If you are arrested for non-payment of child support, do you go to jail in the state of Maryland, or what happens to you after you're arrested?
So typically, if you're arrested on a child support warrant, you do have a right to appear before a judge. Sometimes those hearings look very different than a criminal hearing, even though there's still a liberty interest at stake.
What does that mean, liberty interest at stake?
So typically, in the criminal context, if you're facing jail time or detention while you're waiting for your case to be heard, you're entitled to a lawyer, you're entitled to appear in person, you're entitled to testify. But oftentimes in the child support context, even though you're at risk of being held, physically taken into custody, you might appear before the court without a lawyer present, or you might appear by video conference, or you might be held for a longer period of time than we would see in criminal courtrooms.
So you would not immediately, you know, go to jail, don't collect $200, that kind of thing.
You'd still have the right to due process. You'd still see a judge, but those hearings do look different than they do when we're trying to adjudicate whether someone's committed a criminal offense or not.
Interesting. Go ahead, Bobby.
She is absolutely correct, but let me be real clear with you. When the sheriff come, you go to jail. You go to jail. Now, after you get to jail, you may end up in front of, as she says, a video monitor, you know, before a judge, or you may actually get transported to the courtroom. And then a determination will be made as to whether or not you're going to remain in jail, or whether there's going to be some sort of purge amount that you can pay or something of that nature, and then your liberty be given to you again. But oh, no, there's no special holding area. You go to jail.
Okay. Thank you, Bobby. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Bonnie calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Bonnie. What's on your mind?
Yes, my injury attorney went to the state's attorney, in whom I had filed bankruptcy, and let them know that I was expecting a large injury claim. Can I go into my injury attorney for breaking the attorney-client law?
Bobby, do you want to tackle that one?
Something was missing there, Harold. I understand that she says she's expecting a big, basically, I assume, a personal injury settlement.
I had it, but the state intercepted it and took half of it.
Because of your bankruptcy? Ah.
Yeah, they took more than what I had even filed for. And they wouldn't have even known that I was getting this injury claim, but my injury attorney contacted them. Didn't he break the law of...
What, attorney-client privilege?
Yes.
I'm going to take a stab at that, Harold. Apparently she's in chapter 7, 11, or 13 in their bankruptcy. I don't practice bankruptcy law, so I would probably have to punt that to somebody that does bankruptcy out there. But if the attorney was required to turn that information over, and I'm not sure that he was, because I don't practice bankruptcy, mm-hmm. but it's going to be very difficult to go after him
for sharing that information, absent a clear duty to divulge it in the bankruptcy process.
I know this is not a criminal issue, Patrice. You have any thoughts about that at all?
Sure. I mean, when attorneys do have a duty of privilege and confidentiality, and there are some exceptions, and one such exception is if a court orders you to do that, and if the privilege no longer applies, then there might be a reason for having to do that. So it depends on what the basis was for making the disclosure and whether they had your knowledge or consent before they did that.
Okay.
They did not. They did not, and they actually held it against me when I was going to find another injury attorney. That's when they did it.
Okay. Well, Bonnie, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Good luck. And that is a difficult quandary, to say the least. I need to move to another phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Angela calling from Hyattsville. What's on your mind?
Hello, to everyone. My question is about general Yelp reviews and how or what is determined as defamation. I'm giving you an example. It's not my occupation. Server serves a steak. Okay? A server serves a steak. But the cook cooks the steak. So the server serves the meal to the customer, and they ask for well done. They cut into the steak, and the steak is, say, medium rare.
Okay.
Go back to the table, ask them, how was everything? They say, oh, everything is fine. You know, everything is well and good. However, when they get back home, they write this awful review. Oh, Angela was awful. The steak was terrible.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was medium rare. But you keep going back to the table, asking them, is everything okay? And they never divulge.
That they were unhappy with the service.
Yes.
Yeah, that, you know what, Angela,
because you don't cook the steak, but you're still blamed. So what they say is, oh, Angela's bad. If you ever go back to that restaurant.
Okay, well, Angela, hold on. Let me see if my attorneys can address that. You know,
okay.
Bobby or Patrice, who wants to take a crack at that? Because that's a really, really big issue. Reviews on social media for restaurants, for businesses that,
multi-service layered, and your part was okay, but somebody else's part broke down.
Bobby, what do you think?
It's going to be hard to prove, Harold. You know, just because someone does not share with the server there at the restaurant their opinion of, you know, the food that they received, and they go home and they write a report. You know, the person bringing the action is going to have the burden of proof,
mm-hmm.
i.e. the restaurant. If they're saying, oh, you know, you slandered us or you know, you committed libel against us and we're going after you, they got to prove it. They absolutely have to prove it. How do they do that? Therein lies the problem, and this is an emergent area of the law, but it becomes very, very difficult burden of proof.
Yeah. Patrice, your thoughts?
I do think online reviews are an interesting area of libel law that is still, we're seeing a lot of cases come down, so it's still developing. A lot of it is going to depend on whether the statement made was a matter of fact or a matter of opinion. And so if someone is just giving their opinion, usually it's difficult to find relief there. If someone's mentioned someone by name who was not at all involved, a lot of the online review sites, I believe, including Yelp, have a mechanism to be able to report that is a violation of their terms of service, that you've named someone by name in the review, and they might edit it to remove those names altogether.
So you would recommend going to Yelp or a recommendation or the whatever agency or social media service allows these postings first before you deal with the legal point and hire a lawyer.
Yes, it's still a legal point because the publisher is also concerned about having libelous material on their website.
Okay. There's something to think about. Angela, good luck. Thank you so much. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Bernadette calling from Northeast. What's on your mind?
Good evening, everyone. I'm calling because I sent my son, who was 19 at the time, away to school mm-hmm. in Henderson, Kentucky. He, in turn, came back with a baby by a 42-year-old. The baby traveled from Kentucky to D.C. for, by the time he was 6 months, four times. The last time he was brought here, he was left. And so my son raised the child until he was 3 years old, did a fabulous job at it. The mom would call and contact and everything. But long story short, she was still receiving public assistance from her town and never reported it. So when she was caught, she put a kidnap charge on my son. The child had never moved from the same address for 3 years, never changed his hair color.
Okay, Bernadette, so what is the, where is your son now and where is the child?
My son is home now, and we went to back and forth to court in Kentucky. They said that they wanted him to visit his son at the parenting center there. So we traveled to Kentucky a few times and did that. But since then, the child has been back three more times to D.C.
So what's your question? What's your question?
The question is, we have no resolution from the court system in reference to custody. So, and we have no rights. Everything is still in limbo. The attorney that I hired says that he's through with the case and it hasn't been resolved. And I've given him.
Okay. Well, let me. So, are you concerned about the disposition of the child or the kid or the kidnapping?
Yeah.
Does your son still have a kidnapping charge? Is that also what you're concerned about?
Well, as of December of this year, it goes away.
Okay, so let's talk about the disposition of the child. Who wants to try to figure that one out?
Yes, he just wants to be able to, you know, have certain days and months.
Well, let me see what our attorneys have to say.
Sure. With
Patrice, go ahead.
I mean, the custody issue is a family court matter. I know sometimes people just kind of use the word put a charge on someone loosely, and what they mean is that a court case was initiated, but it's not clear if you meant a family court case was initiated trying to bring the child back because it was removed illegally, or if he was actually charged with criminal kidnapping, charged with a criminal offense and faced jail time. And those are two very different areas of law and different considerations would apply.
So, and she said that the attorney that she had retained has thrown his hands up. So does she need to retain another attorney?
It depends on if it's a family court or criminal court issue. I mean, one thing that's unique about the criminal system, of course, is when someone can't afford an attorney, then an attorney is
provided for you
to represent them.
Family or criminal, Bernadette?
Family.
It's a family issue.
We're just the family and trying to get joint custody of the child.
Okay.
We can't, you know, if the mom is mad, we can't see the child. She won't allow him to come to D.C.
I see. So she does need an attorney. She needs to find another attorney.
Yeah. So matters concerning children are never really closed. You can always get another attorney or even pro se, go back to the court and ask for a modification. There really is no limit on the number of times you can ask.
And we've done that, but the court has not responded. And so, you know, I'm just too far to keep going back and forth, but there's no response from the court system.
Now, what does that mean, Bobby, when a court does not respond? Are they just slow?
Well, if something has been filed, you could attribute it to being slow. But sometimes we will just make phone calls into the clerk's office and think that somebody's going to respond to that. That is not the way to get the court's attention. You literally have to file for custody there in the jurisdiction where the child is. What really should have happened is while the child was residing in this particular area, they should have immediately filed for, you know, what we call pendente lite custody, which is kind of like a temporary custody, and then move for the permanent custody. But once the child is returned to the jurisdiction, you know, several states away, that state has full control over it. And unless you hire a local attorney to deal with it there, you may find the process very daunting.
Yeah, see. Well, Bernadette, thank you so much. Good luck to you, and hopefully you can get this issue resolved. I need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Asa calling from Suitland and Letitia calling from Columbia. The lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Lawyers Roundtable. We're talking about criminal justice issues, any other questions that you may have. about the law, including perhaps personal injury? What about business law, even real estate? What about your home? When you're going to buy a house, do you need an attorney? We'll talk about that as well. We'll be back in just a bit. Stay with us. SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Lawyers Roundtable answering your questions about legal issues. Let's go back to the phone lines. Letitia, calling from Columbia. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was calling, just asking a question. I'm with a man, and we've been dating now for like 5 years. Now I've recently moved in with him, and things don't seem to be, you know, working that out great. What's my, like, right inside the place? Like, is this time, like he's saying, I have to go? Why? Is this some set up as to where I get, like, a certain amount of time in there to get myself together? If things not working out, how would that go?
Bobby, can you handle that one?
Yeah, I mean, they're not married or anything, Harold. It's basically a landlord-tenant situation. If, in fact, the boyfriend is the owner of the home or the person who's leasing the home, it's just like she has come in as a tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no self-help eviction in Maryland and or D.C. So, I mean, if he wants her to leave and she's not willing to voluntarily leave, then he's got to turn around and go file in landlord-tenant court and have her removed that way.
Does she have a time frame?
She has the time period that it's going to take to get an action filed in court. If he came to my office and said that, you know, there's somebody who's holding over in my home and they won't leave, and I will immediately jump on the computer, I'll file. It'll take me about 11 days to get a court date. Once I get a court date and I get a judgment for possession, it's going to take another 5 days to file a writ of restitution. All sum total, it'll probably take about 60 days by the time the sheriff gets the writ of restitution to have her removed from the property.
I see. So, Letitia, what are your plans?
Yeah, it would be, you know, to get myself together. I mean, when I got in there, you know that I wasn't working at the time. I was unemployed, so I'm, like, have employment coming up soon, hopefully. So I just didn't want it to be set up as to where it was, like, rushed.
Yeah.
You know, because he has gotten upset, yeah, and then just trying to, you know, because he was saying something, he could do something within 72 hours, and I was like, you know, I didn't know if that was something possible that, you know, the setup which he can do. So I just wanted to make sure. It's just time, you know, because I have a lot of stuff in there and have to, you know, schedule a truck and this and that to get all the things out. So I just wanted to know, like, my time frame and see what I would have.
Is she in D.C. or Maryland?
She's in Columbia, in Howard County.
Yeah. That Maryland's going to control on it. No, he's got a file. He can't just put you out in Maryland.
Okay. Well, let us hope that there is a civil and peaceful resolution to this, Letitia. So thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Asad calling from Suitland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. My name is Asa, by the way.
Asa. Okay, forgive me. All right.
No problem. Thank you. It gets wrong all the time. Harold, I had a question regarding some employment issues. My wife was employed in Virginia in a small firm, a small law firm. She got pregnant, and she was out for a couple of weeks.
Oh, my goodness. Asa, are you there? You said your wife got pregnant, and go ahead.
And she was out for a few weeks. She was out for a few weeks because she didn't feel well that first trimester season. And we were communicating them the entire time, communicating with them, filled out a UNUM and all of this information, documents that they needed, anything that they needed, we complied with it. A week before we told them she was going to return, they let her go. They let her go abruptly, and we didn't expect that. So we're trying to pursue legal action. However, they don't have an FMLA program. I'm wondering what kind of options do we have at this point now that they weren't covered through FMLA.
Okay, let me stop there and see if Bobby, can you handle that one at all? Or
It's Virginia. I'm gonna, you know, be very, very general. I'll just simply say, you know, in an at-will state, and I'm not sure if Virginia is an at-will state. That means your employment is at will. You can be terminated at any time. If you're not a contractual employee, you could be terminated at any time for any reason, except you can't be terminated for a discriminatory reason. If, in fact, you're pregnant and somebody says that I don't like pregnant people and I'm going to let you go because you're pregnant, that's a discriminatory reason, and you cannot do that. However, if, in fact, you know, they're downsizing, it, you know, it just happens that, you know, it just happens that the business is going down and they let you go and you happen to be pregnant, then that's, you know, not actionable itself, generally speaking.
Okay. Well, under the assumption that they're not downsizing and no one else has been let go, wouldn't that be falling under discriminatory? That would fall under some discriminatory.
Wouldn't proof, Bobby, be the big issue there based on what he's telling us?
Well, yeah, but he's going to have to talk to a Virginia lawyer there to make absolutely sure that he's got the specific law of the jurisdiction that's going to control his particular situation. And simply because she was pregnant and simply because they let her go at that point doesn't mean that it was done because she's pregnant. It could have been her work performance. It could have been a number of reasons why they decided to let her go. So it's not something you can answer probably in 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, Asa, good luck to you and your wife, and thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mitchell calling from Baltimore. Mitchell, you have a couple of questions. Go right ahead.
Yes, thank you again for taking my call. I'm enjoying the show.
Thank you.
My first issue in dealing with, it was a dirt bike task force that came around to my residence looking for a dirt bike, allegedly. But my issue is I have a driveway and I have a sidewalk where my property line starts, and then I have a gate at the end of my house. I didn't realize that it was three officers that was at my house. I didn't realize that it was a third officer. The third officer come walking from around the side of the back of my house. And my question I posed to him was, why are you back there? You don't have a warrant. You know, y'all just knocked on my door. I'm answering. I'm responding to you. And why did you do? They have the right to go beyond, even though it wasn't a fence there physically. Do they have the right to walk past the threshold of my driveway?
I mean, the short answer is yes. I mean, like anyone else, unless there's like unless you've communicated in some way that you're not entertaining anyone visiting, they can come up to the front of your door. If you tell someone without a warrant that you don't want them to enter your door, that you don't want to answer the door, then that's different. Or if you immediately tell them to leave, whether it's an officer or anyone else, then they have to leave. But there isn't anything that protects you from them looking at vehicles or dirt bikes or anything else that's on your property or from approaching the door to ask you questions. They shouldn't be coming up to your window.
Because he was saying that a third officer was on his property, I guess, in your backyard.
Yeah, they were already. See, I have a driveway on the side of my home.
Right.
And I have a property line. My property line starts at the sidewalk. Even though I don't have a fence, the other residents have fences in front of their home. That's like around about 20 feet, 30 feet.
So what you're asking is, do they have the right to be on your property,
correct,
even if it's in your backyard without your permission or without a warrant?
Right. They didn't have no warrant. It was alleged somebody called and said something, which I don't entertain that, of course. I didn't have anything, but it was just the point that they already went beyond it. I don't have a problem coming to my front door, but I felt as though, even though it's not a fence there, you don't have a right.
Well, let's see what Patrice has to say about that. In his yard, no warrant. Mm-hmm. What legal repercussions, if any, does he have?
Sure. So it depends on what the answer to your question about whether they have the right to be there. It depends on what the reason was. in part like what information they're relying on, like any other warrantless invasion. It depends on what the basis was. But in terms of your legal remedies, it just depends on what context it's in. If you ended up getting a criminal charge relating to something that they saw and you wanted to keep that out of evidence in a criminal case, that's one thing. If you wanted to instead file a complaint of police misconduct with the department or with the Office of Police Complaints or Civilian Complaint Review Board, that's another issue. If what you're trying to do is get the officer disciplined, trying to recover damages, that's yet another thing.
I wanted to make sure that my rights weren't violated as far as them going across my property line.
Okay.
And I didn't have any circumstances like that. Like I said, it was someone that called and said that they were different.
Well, Mitchell, I've got to go to a last call. I can't take your second question because I have one other person on. But certainly, good luck. And I'm glad that you're fine after, this I would imagine, nerve-wracking encounter with these officers. So thank you so much, and good luck to you. Let's go to Mike quickly. Mike from Baltimore, what's on your mind?
Hi, Harold. Thanks for taking my call. Look, I'm a person with a disability. My wife and I went to my brother-in-law's birthday dinner about a month ago at a nice restaurant, and we tried the valet park, but the valet park denied me service, saying that he wouldn't drive my car with the hand controls. Anyone can drive the car still, but they denied me.
Okay. So what is your question?
Were my civil rights, or was I discriminated against because of my disability?
Interesting. Bobby, I've got about 30 seconds.
The short answer is it smells very fishy. It sounds like it violated the ADA, but we'd have to look at it very, very closely. If they're driving everybody else's car and they're simply not driving your cars because it has the hand controls, then that seemed like that may violate the ADA. Because otherwise, you could not take advantage of valet parking just like every other patron of the establishment.
I see. Okay. Well, Mike, thank you so much for your phone call. And I want to thank both of the attorneys at the Lawyers Roundtable, Patrice Sultan, as well as Bobby Henry. Thank you both so very, very much. I think I learned something today. Maybe I can go and get a law degree.
I have to tell you one thing before
you go.
Yes, that person has to give notice in the bankruptcy that they got the personal injury suit, and she would not be able to sue the lawyer. I had to look it up.
So she wouldn't be able. Wow, interesting.
No, she can't.
There you go.
She's obligated to.
Well, Bobby, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Have a great one.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, August 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher, WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum, WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is...